Kingdoms have kings. It's probably new stuff for you. Not elected officials, not somebody you can vote out of office. They have kings. Those who have the authority to make the rules, to make the laws, and authority to enforce the rules or laws that they've set in motion. They have the authority then to execute judgment and justice in every situation. In other words, what the king says goes. In the kingdom of God, it's no different than earthly kingdoms. God is sovereign. He has the right. He has the power. And he enforces. And as I said, today's Mother's Day. A day that we set aside to honor mothers. Honoring mothers wasn't man's idea. It was God's. It's a commanded thing. Starting in the Ten Commandments, we were commanded to honor mothers. Deuteronomy 5:16, for those of you who can't remember it, says, "Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Does this sound really weird? Just up here. Okay. We're commanded to honor both father and mother. It's worded another way in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 through 3. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I'm the Lord your God.'" You know, sandwiched right in between "be holy" and "keep the Sabbath," God puts "revere mother and father." Right in between those two weighty things is the commandment to honor. And you notice this time mothers listed first. Revere mother and father. Right in between "be holy" and "keep the Sabbath." It was a big thing with God. Don't ask me why, but God put it there exactly where he put it, and he did it on purpose. These are direct commandments of God given to his people concerning honor due to parents. And being Mother's Day, we're going to focus on the honor due mothers. Jesus even upbraided the religious leaders of his day regarding this commandment. He told them, "You've made God's commandment of no effect." In Matthew chapter 15, verses 4 through 6, it says, "For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, 'Whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." Honor. God commanded it. It shouldn't be something that we just follow through with because it's something we have to do, but it should become a heart desire within us to honor those to whom honor is due. Jesus modeled obedience to his earthly parents. It wasn't something that God commanded and it was just for us, and then the Son of God himself was able to somehow skirt around the issue. Instead, he modeled the commandment for us. Even as a young boy, we're told in Luke chapter 2 that he modeled obedience to his parent. It says, now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple. How many of you remember Jesus at 12 years old went up to Jerusalem for the feast with his parents? They were all there together as one big happy family. But somehow when everybody packed up to go back home, parents travel all day. Any of you parents ever done this? Travel several miles away from church some Sunday, only to realize that one of the kids is missing. Sometimes you wonder, as the person who's left behind, if that was done on purpose. But Jesus' mom and dad head home from the tabernacle, head home from the temple, only to find at the end of the day, as they've traveled all day long, hey, he's missing. And they go back, and this is where they pick up. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you very anxiously. Continue. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. He was subject to them. They didn't understand the things that he told them. Caught up in all of the fears and the anxieties of the moment. Their son's been missing. It takes them 3 days to find him. 3 days. Can you imagine, parents? Can you imagine moms? 3 days to find. And so he comes up with an explanation. Why, didn't you know where I had to be? And for some reason, parents didn't catch the connection there. They didn't pick up on it. He was diligently seeking his father's will. He was diligently seeking after the reason he was even sent into the world. He was following through with his God-given mandate to live holy, to become the sacrifice, the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. He was just following through. And yet they didn't understand this statement he makes to them. Son, what have you done to us? We've been looking for you. Can you hear your own voice there? We've been looking for you diligently. Why'd you do this to us? Ever come out of your mouth? Here he is, the Son of God. The very Son of God. And he didn't correct his parents saying, I just told you, I'm here because God sent me. Instead, it says he was subject to them. He returned home and he became subject to them, giving honor to his parents. As an adult, he was still honoring his mother. Even as an adult, anybody remember the wedding feast at Cana in Galilee? John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, it says, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, What does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to them, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Now it's interesting to look at the honor that Jesus gives to his mother in this specific time. This was the very beginning of his ministry. The previous verses tell us of the baptism by John in the River Jordan. It goes from the calling of a few disciples and his baptism in the Jordan River directly into this, a wedding feast. He's just beginning his earthly ministry. And this was the first time that he manifested a miracle. And in fact, when his mother came and told him about the need, his response was, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? It's not time yet." How many of you believe that Jesus waited on the right timing? He waited for God to say now. I don't believe he ever did anything before God spoke it. I don't believe he did anything before his father revealed it to them. And yet in this time, when his mother comes to him and says, "They're out of wine, they need your help," his response is, "What's that got to do with me? It's not time for me yet. God hasn't spoken anything to me." And yet, mom was persistent. Anybody had a persistent mom? Jesus' mom, you know, the Mary Immaculate, you know, the perfect woman, one chosen by God, she was just like everybody else. She was persistent. She didn't say, "Well, son, would you please help us here? Please, please." She looks at the servants and says, "Whatever he tells you to do, you do it." She just turns and walks away. Jesus honored his mother. He honored his mother. How many of you understand that you can't honor your father without also honoring your mother? Because he's the one who gave the commandment. It says Jesus honored his mother because mom was persistent and didn't give up. Jesus did what she said. And it was the first miracle. It says the beginning of miracles. Beginning of signs Jesus did right here to honor his mother. His lifestyle continued to show care and concern and compassion for his mother, even to the day that he's taken up Calvary's hill. Even on the day that he's hanging, pierced and bleeding in agony on the cross, going through such suffering that would have drawn the focus of most everyone else I've ever known inward, so that we're thinking of self, Jesus was still honoring his mother. It was the responsibility of the firstborn to make sure that mom was cared for after dad was gone. The firstborn got the double portion. And out of that, he was to care for mom, to take care of her until she was gone as well. Jesus was the firstborn. How many of you remember that? In the natural, that right of caring for mom would have fallen on him. And hanging there on the cross that day, he made provisions for mom. Honored her even on the cross. John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27, it says, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home." Jesus honored the mother. He modeled for us honor. God's sovereign decree is that mothers should be given honor. But with the honor that they receive, there's also a great responsibility. Moms, you're not off the hook. Within the scope of the kingdom of heaven, there's great responsibility for mothers. Jesus reveals the qualification, not just for mothers, but everyone else. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50, it says, "While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you.' But he answered and said to the one who told him, 'Who is my mother and who are my brothers?' And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, 'Here are my mother and brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.'" You know, it's not that hard of a ordeal, I understand, to become a mother. Lots of people have become one who weren't worthy of respect from the natural perspective. Pretty much anybody, almost anybody, could become one. If you're a woman, you could become a mother. But Jesus gave some qualifications to Kingdom of God mothers. He looked at his disciples and said, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven." Look at those who do the will of my Father in heaven. These are kingdom mothers. "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Moms, I want you to be encouraged today. Among all your other responsibilities, this one is the most important you have: doing the will of God. As we saw portrayed in the drama this morning, yeah, you've got to do the cooking and the laundry and cleaning house, taking care of the kids, doing the shopping, paying the bills, driving the schools, you know, all the kids to school and to soccer practice and piano lessons and dance lessons and all those things, fulfilling the Proverbs 31 wife. And all of those things are important. They are tasks that have to be done. Unfortunately, they fall on you most of the time. But Jesus said there's a greater priority in heaven's value system: doing the will of God. Moms, I want you to be encouraged and hear this. If you miss an appointment, if you forget to wash the favorite shirt, or if your husband comes home and maybe the dishes are still in the sink and haven't been washed, there can be forgiveness there. Don't forget to do the will of God. Are you listening, moms? Set your priority on the will of God above all those things. I know it's easy to get into a routine. It's easy to follow through with what duties are dealt to you. It's easy to fall into those traps that we all have set for us and to become those who please man. But I want you to know that God's given you a greater priority. To be a mom who does the will of God. To be a mom who does the will of God. Those other things will fall in place. Dishes get caught up with sooner or later. So does laundry. Kids learn to pick up after themselves with a little encouragement. Maybe a lot of encouragement. Maybe a whole lot of encouragement. I knew it'd stir somebody sooner or later. Do the will of God. Of all the life profiles in the Bible, one has always impressed me, probably more than just about any other, and it's about a mom. I even coaxed Joy to name one of our daughters after her. Took some doing. Here's a mother who seemed to get priorities and commitments in line with God's desire. In the scriptures, we find a lady who's barren, wanting children more than anything else. So she got serious with God. Most of you know the story. She poured out her soul in prayer to God during the feast days at the temple. She was mistakenly accused of being drunk because of her manner of prayer. She didn't become loud and boisterous, but she prayed with all her heart. The priests and religious looking on saw her. Her lips were moving, nothing was coming out, and they just thought she was drunk. And rebuked her. Anybody ever gotten accused falsely? Most of us want to accuse falsely back. But she didn't. Finally, the priest Eli sends her home with a blessing. But in the meantime, she had bargained with God, saying, "If you'll give me a son, if you'll just give me a son, I will give him back to you as long as he lives. I promise." Anybody ever prayed a prayer and "I promise"? How long do we remember our promise? "Oh, I promise, God, if you'll get me out of this." She prayed the prayer, "I promise." God blessed Hannah, and she gave birth to Samuel that year. But she didn't forget her bargain with God. Toward the end of the story, we look at 1 Samuel chapter 1. "Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, 'Not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever.' And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word.' So the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli, and she said, 'Oh my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I'm the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I have asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. A following through with the promise. A mom who seeks first the will of God. A mom who begins to take promises seriously. A mom who knows that every blessing is coming from God and wants to give that same blessing back. Most of you haven't had to bargain with God for children. But at the same time, you can give your children back to God. You can live life in such a way that they will be not just drawn, but almost pushed into the kingdom. Yeah, you cannot control every decision your child will make. Lots of your moms tried. Probably all of your moms. And most of them failed in the strength of the flesh. But when you live your life after God's desire, and you do your part, even when the kids make their own decision, God takes up the cause. God took up the cause of a lot of praying mothers who were your mothers. God took up the cause even when she tried and failed and you were still hard-headed and rebellious and running. God took up the cause because she did her part. She kept her end of the commandments. Some of you didn't have those mothers who were seeking after God. One of the things in Scripture that makes it hard for us to understand is God didn't qualify the mothers who would get respect and honor. He just said, honor your mother and father. And some of you can look at your mom and say, well, she's not worthy. Fortunately, you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, neither am I worthy. But God still offered a commandment that says, I am to be honored. There's great responsibility when we come to know this God, the God of salvation, who's the King, who made every law and established every commandment. The God who gives life commanded that parents were to be honored. This morning, I want to specifically focus on your mother. There's a lot of people who have not honored their mother. That was the first commandment that had a promise behind it. It's the first commandment that had any promise. The first four were all dealing with God, and you were just to do it without any questions. But when it got to honor your mother and father, there was a promise. It was a promise of long life, a promise of inheritance. And whether or not the moms or the dads or anybody else was worthy, you were still commanded to give the honor. And in so doing, you would receive the blessing. I hate it when I lose my place. I guess I'm supposed to leave out the rest. I do want to share one more scripture about kingdom moms before we close. It's a scripture about a couple of moms that we really don't know anything about. They don't have chapters written about their lives. They're mentioned by name only in this one verse. But this one verse speaks volume. Paul was writing to his young disciple Timothy. said, you've got a genuine faith. In 2 Timothy 1:5, it says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. These two women seem to overflow with a generational faith. As a result of the kingdom priority that they had, young Timothy has become an instrument that God is going to use in kingdom labors. These women, though unremembered for anything else in their life, there's nothing else that we know about them other than that they were Timothy's mom and grandmother. We don't know what they did for a living. We don't even know the names of their husbands. We don't know whether they lived a long, long life, what kind of house they lived in, where they went to church. We don't know anything else about them except that there was a genuine faith there. They have that one testimony. And it makes them worthy of honor. Genuine faith, kingdom faith, generational faith. It didn't stop with one generation, but it was passed down to the next. And then it was passed down again to the next. And Timothy, young Timothy, Paul calls him my spiritual son. A young man to whom Paul entrusted much in the kingdom of God. Much ministry was entrusted to this young man because of mothers who saw first kingdom principles and kingdom priorities. This morning we honor mothers. We honor you. Not just because we have to. Because when we stop, we can look and see there's a reason. We recognize that nobody got here without mom. Nobody got here without mom. We honor you. And it's not just a once a year celebration. It's not a once a year thing. You can set aside a day in the calendar all you want to, but honor for mothers isn't just on the second or third Sunday of the month of May every year. God said, honor your father and mother that you may live. I know a lot of parents who take that for granted. That's their scripture to live by. Honor me that you might live, boy. If you don't. I see most of you live. They must not have carried through. My exhortation to each one of you. Honor your mother. God commanded it. But she deserves it. And the exhortation to mothers this morning is kingdom commitment. Live to honor the King. I know you have a lot of priorities being a mom. Don't forget your most important priority. Follow through with responsibilities. Follow through with living a life that honors Him. Become a Hannah in Scripture. Become a Lois and Eunice. Maybe you won't be recorded in the annals of time as someone who did great things. Maybe the only thing that will ever be written about you is about your great faith and the way that you passed on the generational blessing to your children. Become those mothers. Can we just all stand together? Every once in a while, you just got to do things different that's out of the routine. Because this message wasn't really one of those come to the altar messages. But it's a message to take it to heart. And it's a message to commit yourself to living for God. It's a message that says God gave the commandment. And if I'm guilty in one commandment, I'm guilty of them all. It's what the Word says. If you failed in one point, then you've broken the whole law. This morning, I'd like for you to just begin to look on the inside. And for just a moment, just regard your memory of your mother. And some of you might have your mom right here in this very room. And others of you, she's far away. Others of you might have a mother that doesn't even breathe any longer. She's passed from this life. Some of you have great relationships with mothers. And others of you have very, very poor memories. But God's called you to honor. For some of you, you think, well, that's hard. God didn't say it wasn't. It doesn't change the standard. The Word of God says honor. For others of you, you are those mothers that I'm talking about. And God's placed a responsibility on your shoulder. You're getting it both ways because you have a mother and then you are a mother. And so you have to give honor to a mother, whether she was worthy of it or not. And plus, you have responsibilities to be. And so everyone in this room tonight, this morning, I just ask that you would just begin to turn your eyes back to what's in your heart. Look on the inside at what's in your heart. And ask the Lord to reveal whether or not the honor that is due has been rendered by you. Have you given the honor? And if not, it's a time to ask the Lord for a spirit of repentance in your life. And moms, you have great responsibility. Are you taking your responsibility? Are you living life in a Christ-like manner that will show your children, maybe your grandchildren and great-grandchildren in the future? Are you willing to take that stand this morning? Are you willing to accept the responsibility that God has given you? And so right now, I just want us to pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we come thanking you, Father, that, Lord, you're the one who wrote the rule book. And Father, you've commanded something that, Father, if we don't keep this one point, then Father, all the rest of our good works have still missed it. And so, Father, I ask that you would bring a cleansing and a purification to hearts across this room this morning. That, Father, that God, even those that had good relationships with parents, Father, that you would make them better. And Father, Lord, not just to heal the relationships, but to heal the hearts that have become hardened. Lord, that you would bring a transformation of the life, Father. You promised long life to those who give honor. And Lord, I'm praying, Father, for you to change the future of many this morning. And God, I pray, Lord, in those situations where mom might have not have been up to the standard of godly mothers, Lord God, for those children that were brought up in that environment, Father, maybe they were just abandoned. That, Father, that there would be a healing that would take place in the heart. That, Father, there would be a restoration, Father, of the body. The Lord, that there would become an obedience into your people. To live before you a God life. And Father, I pray for each one of these moms present today, Lord, to whom you've given a responsibility. And Father, there are moms to be that they're not here yet, but Father, it's destined in their future. God, I pray for them that each one would purpose in their heart, God, to live a life completely and totally for you. That, Lord, their children and their grandchildren, all their ancestors, God, all those that come into contact with their life, Father, would be changed simply because they took the responsibility that you have given them, Lord, and they did exactly as you desire. So, Father, I just speak that into this body. Lord, as you've gathered yourself a people, Lord, we did nothing to earn the salvation or the kingdom life that you've given us. It was all because of Jesus. And Father, I pray that as we rejoice in who you are, we would also rejoice in being as you were. Lord, you lived a life, Father, that honored according to the commandment. And Father, I pray that this would become a people in every point who would honor you and honor their parents. Lord, specifically today, we give the honor to the mothers. Lord, we thank you that you set them in the body and ordained them exactly as they are. It was your plan. It was your purpose from the beginning. So, Lord, I just thank you that you are raising up for yourself kingdom mothers. Those who will be a source. Those who will be just the very image of Christ to their families. And Father, I pray for these families that they would become those who are Christ-honoring and mother-honoring children. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for the blessing that's evident upon many families. We thank you, Father, that you pour out a blessing to those who obey and love your word. So, Lord, we just ask this morning that as the healing comes, the transformation would come, and your kingdom would grow and become a force in this earth. Lord, we praise you for who you are. We thank you for Jesus, our perfect sacrifice and our perfect example. Lord, I pray that each one would learn to live that example and thereby bring honor to the Father. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.